Dawson City in the Klondike is close to the Arctic Circle in Canada's Northland. About 600 people live there, and most of them are young. Many of them are Indian or part Indian, and some are white. A little apart from the lively townsfolk is a handful of cheerful old pioneers. They didn't all go to the Klondike in the Great Gold Rush of 1898, but they were pioneers nonetheless. The old-timers of the Klondike are mostly in their 80s, and many of them have become frail, and they've had to give up their independent lives on the creeks in the Gold Hills to go and live in Dawson City. There are two places for them to go to. One is the old men's home, which is almost a hospital, and the other is the Sunset Home, where the residents can come and go in complete freedom. They live in one-room apartments with every modern convenience. They have individual stoves and wash basins, and a front door key of their own. Living in the Sunset Home in the summer of 1962 when I visited Dawson City was Mrs. Eleanor Coakley, a fellow of the Royal Geographic Society. She was a pretty woman for all her 84 years. She was daintily dressed, very intelligent, and she had a stubborn streak of independence. For Mrs. Coakley was born Eleanor Baker, in Hoyland, near Barnsley, in the West Riding of Yorkshire. She told me she had left England in 1912 to go to Australia, where her husband helped to form the Royal Australian Navy. No one in her family had travelled so far before, and she told me how one of her aunts viewed the prospect.
Well, it was my husband's aunt. She'd never been away from near Sheffield. She'd never been any further than Sheffield. We didn't live in Sheffield, we lived near Sheffield, halfway between Sheffield and Barnsley. And she said, how long did you say you were going to be on this boat? She'd never seen a ship at all. And I said, oh, just 6 weeks. Oh, my goodness. Now, won't you be ready for a cup of tea? She must have thought I wasn't going to have anything between England and Australia.
Yes. So how long did you stay in Australia then?
12 years. For one thing, I lived on the Barrier Reef for a year while we were there when peace was proclaimed. We didn't know for a week that peace had been proclaimed.
And then from there, where did you go?
Oh, around Australia, different places, New Zealand, Fiji.
How did you adapt yourself to all this different manner of living?
Oh, I think I'm adaptable. I just made the best of it. I've lived from 130 degrees above zero to 68 below. To 86 below. 86 below.
Goodness me. Where was that? Here in Dawson City? Good Lord.
No, I was in Mayo. That was 86 below, the coldest.
Is that it? That's supposed to be one of the coldest places in North America, isn't it?
I was in Mayo about 18 months and they asked me to go and cook for the hospital.
And did you?
The hospital had been closed for 4 years. I'd never done any cooking except for my own family. But however, we tried it out. I'm willing to try anything once. And I stayed and cooked for them 16 months. I never heard of anybody I killed.
Did you give them good English Yorkshire pudding?
Oh,
and
yes.
Recipe when you
oh, yes.
It? What did you serve them? Did you serve them moose and caribou bear steaks? My, you must have eaten a lot of different
fish,
things.
You know. Mm-hmm. Trout out from Mayo Lake, mm-hmm. Salmon in season, grayling,
yes.
Moose.
What a lot you must have learned in your life.
Oh, I think I have. I'm still learning. I don't think you're ever too old to learn.
How wonderful. And then you must have chosen one of the coldest winters if you went to 86 below.
We had to close the store because it was too cold to keep the doors open. And people who did go out only went out because they had to. Mm-hmm. And they used to come to the house for what they wanted.
Yes.
I never went out at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, how old are you?
84.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you lived in Dawson City?
Since, in the Yukon, mm-hmm. since 1939.
So how old were you when you came to the Yukon?
Over 60.
I notice you keep so very busy.
Yes, that's what keeps me young. I clean my room every day. We can have someone here to clean the room if we care about it, but I don't care about it. I'd rather clean my own room. I do a little baking and cooking and washing and ironing for myself, you know. And then I work a lot for the church. I'm a member of ever so many societies. I work for the IODE. I'm a stamp collector.
Are you really?
An avid stamp collector. I've got a collection of quite a good many stamps. And I knit a lot. I knit for the church and I knit for the IODE. I don't knit much for myself.
What do you knit then for the IODE? For children or?
No, to send over to Korea. I was Met Secretary for the Home and Abroad, and that means we sent two bales yearly for Korea for the orphans and destitute. I knit socks, and scarves, mittens, sweaters, anything that I think they want. Well, I help with the Indians quite a lot too. I've worked for the Indians because when I first came, I was matron of the St. Paul's Hostel, which is a hostel for half-breed children. And I stayed there 6 years. Mm-hmm. And then, I help in different ways. For 6 years, another 6 years, till I was 81, I worked over at the police barracks as matron there. The inspector of police came over to ask if I would go as matron to the police. And I went over there to the RCMP barracks, and I stayed there, and I was just 81 when I retired.
So you know all the criminals in town as well as all the children?
I think I know pretty well every Indian in Dawson, and I think every Indian in Dawson knows me.
Can you tell me something about the beautiful flowers that seem to grow here so abundantly?
Well, they are abundant. But the season is so short that they nearly all bloom together. We have a flower exhibition on the 17th of August over in the park, and it's surprising the number of flowers that are shown there. We grow wonderful vegetables too, you know, and there's lots of berries around. Do you know that?
Yes, I picked a black currant on the way here today.
Oh, yes, there are black currants, there are raspberries, there are blackberries, and blueberries and cranberries.
So you're able to keep lots of vitamin C in stock for the winter,
winter. We put all those berries up and we can keep them in the fridge, you know. And the same with the fish. We can keep the fish so that we can have fish nearly all the winter.
Yes.
And then of course we can put moose, caribou, ptarmigan, grouse, all that kind of thing.
Yes. Could you just tell me and explain why you really need a refrigerator in the Arctic?
Well, we need it for the summer, anyway.
Yes.
And I don't know, it's handy. It does seem silly to have a refrigerator in the Arctic.
Yes.
But we find it very useful.
Yes. Of course, the alternative is to keep it outside and then get frozen stiff when you want to get something out of the larder, isn't it? But I think it is because the houses are kept so warm, isn't
it,
in the winter?
Yes, they are. Of course, the out in the bush, you know, they keep they keep their meat in a cache. You know, that's like a little cabin built on, on supports, on legs propped up high so the animals can't get there.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't do that here in the town.
No. I see you're a member of the National Geographic Society?
Yes.
What was that award made for, Mrs. Coakley?
Oh, I used to write articles for the Geographic magazines and so on. I used to write articles for the Australian and the English and the Canadian.
So what keeps you in the Yukon now?
I like it.
Can you explain why?
Well, I think so. I've travelled around so long, and I'm getting now so old that a lot of my contemporaries have passed away. And I've got more friends here in Dawson than I have anywhere. That's how I feel.
Yes.
I feel comfortable and secure here. I hope to end my days here.